First thing I want to say is this is something really that Peter said in his prayer. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And his timing so often is not our timing. His schedule is so often very different to ours. Sometimes we can want things very quickly, can't we? We're in days where we expect what we want to come our way very quickly, whether that's in a supermarket or whether that's in a different situation. We're wanting things here and now. And Daniel, he was desirous that God's people would return to the promised land. And God was comforting him as he'd read through Jeremiah. And God was saying, yes, Daniel, these 70 long years are now over. Yes, you are going to return. But there's something else I need to tell you, Daniel. And in this vision that he's given about the 70 weeks, he's learning something of the scale of God's plans, that Daniel wasn't just to look for the restoration of Jerusalem, for the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the restoring of God's people to the promised land. He was to see that God had far higher and greater purposes. But there would be time periods when God would fulfill his purposes. There would come a time when God would bring in everlasting righteousness, a time when God would put an end to sin, a time when the Messiah would come but would be cut off. And there was to be times of great tribulation and desolation in the future. And Daniel was really told, don't just think about the here and now. Don't just think about Jerusalem now being rebuilt. Consider all of God's plans. Be patient. And remember, God's people need to persevere. Daniel, it doesn't just mean that when you come back into the land, everything will be wonderful. God's kingdom in all of its fullness is yet to come, and there will be times, troublesome times, in front of God's people. I don't know if you get impatient or if at times you expect something to happen, it doesn't happen, you wonder why. I remember when I was 18 years of age, I really wanted to serve the Lord as a missionary overseas, but I had to wait 15 years. Not that all of those years I was chomping at the bit. But it was only when I was 33 the Lord called me overseas. And then when we were overseas, I expected that that was where I would live and die. I really did. I wasn't really thinking of coming back to the UK. And yet after 12 years, the Lord brought us back to the UK. And God's ways are not our ways. His timing is not our timing. His schedule isn't our schedule. By God's grace, some things happen very quickly. When we began refurbishment, the money came in quite quick, really. And really quite quickly, although we had to wait a certain amount, but the church was refurbished. And then a few years ago, we thought about a gospel work, and I thought it would just be like that. I thought, well, within a year, by God's grace, we'll have a gospel worker. But it's often not like that, is it? We have to learn that God's ways are his ways and his timing is his timing. Well, we're going to look at verses 25 to 27. It's universally acknowledged that these are some of the most difficult passages in the whole of Scripture. So I don't think I'm going to leave you with all the answers, certainly not. But I hope that what we look at tonight will be a help to you, and I pray that it will help you to go away and search the scriptures further. You may want to compare this passage with Revelation 11, Revelation 12, Revelation 13. You may want to go into other passages of scripture to understand these times that are given to us. We hear about 70 weeks. In the Hebrew, it's 70 heptads, which means 70 sevens. Literally, it's 70 sevens. And most scholars say that the week represents a year. So when we read of 70 sevens, we're reading of 70 times 7, 490 years, if you take this passage literally. And there are lots of questions about this passage. Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And so it goes on. And then it speaks about a final week, a 70th week. So notice first of all that you have 70 weeks. And these 70 weeks are divided up into 7 weeks. And then 62 weeks. And then a final week. They're speaking about three periods of time. 70 weeks is divided up into 7 weeks. So we might say that's 7 times 7, 49. And then 62 weeks, 62 times 7. And then lastly, the final week, 7 years. But when does this all begin? That's one of the questions we're going to ask. If you look above on the screen, there's debates about when these 70 weeks, these 490 years begin. We're told in verse 25 that all of this is from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem. Was that the word that was given to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29, verse 10? When God tells Jeremiah, the word has gone forth to him, that God, that Jerusalem is going to be restored and rebuilt. Was it then? In about 594. Or was it when Cyrus, the Persian king, who was anointed by God, we read that in Isaiah 45 verse 1, that he was God's anointed servant, who was to bring back Israel from that their captivity into the promised land. What was it, his decree that's referred to in verse 25, from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem, these 70 weeks would begin? Or was it in 457 BC when the next Persian king, Artaxerxes I, makes a decree, but things don't happen, and so he has to make a second decree in 444 BC. We're talking about the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. If you read through the book of Ezra, it explains in different chapters the first decree of Artaxerxes and the second decree of Artaxerxes, and why there's a delay, and why the walls aren't built, and why the temple isn't built, why there's a delay. And then eventually Nehemiah is given the final go-ahead to build the walls from 444 BC. So when did these 70 weeks begin for this plan of three stages to happen? Is it from the time of the word given to Jeremiah? Or is it from the time of Cyrus when he makes a decree? Or is it the first decree of Artaxerxes or the second decree of Artaxerxes? And there's different opinions about that. In our verse, verse 25, there's also debate when it says here, until Messiah, and the literal Hebrew is until the anointed one. So is verse 25, which speaks about the Messiah, the anointed one, the same person as in verse 26? Universally, in verse 26, the Messiah here is considered to be Jesus Christ, cut off for the sins of his people. But there's a debate. Is verse 25 speaking about a different person? Dale Ralph Davis, who many of you have heard at preaching at Aberystwyth, says he believes verse 25 is to do with Cyrus, God's anointed one. Now, I know saying all this is creating lots of confusion in your minds. It's saying, well, how do we know then? And I don't want to leave you with confusion. What I want to do is take you through some of the positions this evening, but then I want us to see common threads in those positions. And then I want us to see a message, because there's a clear message in this passage for us. We're going to look at the meaning. We need to look at the details. But then we're going to look at the message. All sorts of questions. Verse 27 talks about a covenant being confirmed in the middle of the week. If we see the 70th week as 7 years, that's talking about 3.5 years. And people like Stuart Olliott says this is Christ after 3.5 years of ministry. He's there in the upper room and he's with his disciples and he's instituting the Lord's Supper, and he says this is a new covenant in my blood. And he says that refers to the new covenant that Christ makes. John MacArthur says, no, this isn't to do with that at all. He says this is a covenant that God has made with Israel. And it's a time when the temple will be restored and the sacrifices will be restored. And after 3.5 years, those sacrifices will end with the Antichrist. Well, that's probably pretty confusing to hear those totally opposite views. But let's get down to the passage and let's look at some of the possible understandings of this passage. So first of all, if you come to the sheet with me, if you come to the three different views, we're going to look at John Lennox. He's very well known in the UK. He is known to be a person who debates atheists in the UK. He's from Oxford University, professor of mathematics, has a brilliant mind, and he's written books against Darwinism, and he's a very able man. And he takes these 77s referring to literal years. Now, we're going to consider his view first, then we're going to consider Paul Mallard, who just preached at the Aberystwyth Conference, and consider his views. And he again takes the 70 weeks as literal. And then we're going to consider Dale Ralph Davies, who takes them as symbolic. And there are many other views that could be given. These are just three modern day men who live today, are well known in the UK as conference speakers. One's from America and has come over to us. Well, John Lennox, he says this: the 490 years begin in 444 BC. And he says his reason for believing this is verse 25. He says, because this is speaking of the time when the street shall be built again and the wall. In other words, he's saying, under Nehemiah, very quickly, the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt and the place was populated again. Houses would have been built. And so he dates the 490 years from the second decree of Artaxerxes in 444 BC. And then he says, well, you've got a first period here. And the first period is the 7 weeks, or the seven sevens. So the first period is 49 years. And he says that's the period of reconstruction at the time of Nehemiah. And then there's a second period. And this is the 62 weeks that are mentioned here in verse 25. 62 times 7 gives 434 years, if you look on the screen. And he says, this is the intertestamental period. It's period just before the end of the New Testament, is Malachi's time, and it goes right through those 400 years of silence and brings us to the time of Christ. But he's more specific. He says, now you've got the first 7 weeks, and you've got the second 62 weeks. You've got 7 times 7, which is 49 years. And you've got 62 times 7, which is 434 years. You add those two together, and you get 483. But he then says significantly, lunar years. He says we're not to think in terms of solar years. He says they didn't count in terms of solar years. And he says a lunar year is very different to our year. A lunar year has 30 days in the month. So a lunar year is 12 times 30, which is 360 days. And if you had a calculator here and you wanted to do the mathematics, you would times 483 by 360 and you come to a large figure. And then if you wanted to get that into solar years, you would divide that by 365 point something. I don't know, it's 2, isn't it? Something like that, 0.14 or whatever. And he says you come then to 476 solar years and about 1 month, just less than 1 month. I don't know if all of that mathematics is clear to you. Some of that's probably foxed you and you're wondering what it's all about. But basically, he's starting at 444 BC, and then he's going on 476 solar years and 1 month. And he says this: you will come exactly to April AD 33. So he says this prophecy here is an exact prediction of the death of Jesus Christ. He believes in AD 33, April 33. Now, he's a brilliant mathematician. His figures can't be incorrect, but his interpretation could be incorrect. So you need to look at that and think about it. If he is correct, you still have to say, then what about the final 70th week, the final 7 years? What's that referring to? And he says that refers to the end of time. And he says that because in verse 27, you have phrases about abominations and desolation. And he would take you back into Daniel 8 and into Daniel 11, where similar language is used. And he would say that this language isn't only speaking about Antioch Epiphanes, that Antichrist with small a, who would do terrible things to the Jewish people. But those passages refer to the Antichrist at the end of time. Now, most people who take a literal view do jump in the 70th week to the end times. But there's a question mark there. Isn't that an unnatural gap? Why would you speak about seven sevens as a literal 49 years and then 62 sevens as a literal period? And then suddenly you have a final seven, you jump to the end of time. How on earth do you do that? And they would say, well, there's often a double form to prophecy. And it often does that. Well, that's John Lennox's view. But let's go on to Paul Mallard's view. And I've listened to a sermon by him on this, and so I've took notes from the sermon. Well, he says that the 490 years begin in a different date, 457 BC, when Artaxerxes first gave the command to rebuild. So for him, passing through 49 years, you come to 408 BC. So that's the first period. The first period ends at 408 BC, starting at 457 BC. And then he says, you go through the 62 times 7, the 434 years, and you'll come to 26 AD. Now, many people say, well, 26 AD is close, isn't it? It's close to the lifetime of Christ. But he would say to you, Paul Mallard, and other scholars would say, no, this is very exact. Because Jesus wasn't born in year zero. Jesus was born in 4 BC. So in 26 AD, Jesus was 30 years old. So this is taking you to the time when he was anointed at his baptism. And so the next 3.5 years, which are described here as half a week, we go down into verse 26 and 27, we're talking about his ministry. And when it says in verse 26, after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, that does not mean after exactly at the point of these 434 years, the 62nd week ending, but it could be after a point after that. So give 3.5 years, and then Messiah will be cut off. But again, you're left with what happens with the last 3.5 years. And Mallard, he would take you to the final 70, the final days, and he would say that's to do with the Antichrist. And just to give you a little twist, Stuart Olliott, he would follow, or I don't know who follows who, but he would have the same position as Paul Mallard. But he would say this: whilst, yes, Christ is cut off, 3.5 years, he's cut off, he's dying for the sins of his people, it seems early, he's cut off in the middle of the week, but then you've got these last 3.5 years, and that's going to take you to AD 70, when Titus came, the prince came, and Jerusalem was destroyed. Now, for many of you, that leaves question marks in your minds, and for many of you, that's unsatisfactory. It doesn't tie up loose ends. And I think all of these men who've given those views would agree with you. They say that's the best that they can do. That's as far as they've got. Well, I'd like you to take you to one other view, and this is Dale Ralph Davis. And he holds a symbolic view. See, he doesn't believe that the years are definite literal periods. So there isn't a 49-year literal period, and then there isn't a 434-year literal period, and there isn't a final 7-year literal period of years. He hasn't said this, but I've heard another preacher saying this. We've got warrant for saying that these aren't literal years, because when Jesus talks about 70 times 7, he doesn't take that literally, symbolically. How many times are you to forgive your brother was 70 times 7. Jesus doesn't mean that as an exact figure, and so we can say that we can look at these verses and say they're not necessarily literal. But it's interesting, even having said that, Dale Ralph Davis's view is fairly similar to the others in that he identifies three periods that are fairly similar. He believes that the word of command in verse 25, the command that goes forth, goes back to Jeremiah in 594 BC. And he believes that it's Cyrus who is the one mentioned in verse 25, where we have it translated Messiah, the prince. He believes it should be translated the anointed one, the priest. And he says that's the first period, a relatively restricted period. But then he has a second relatively extended period. This includes the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem. It includes all the troublesome times that God's people would face. The end of verse 25 can refer, when it mentions troublesome times, to Sanballat and Tobiah, but it can refer to the troublesome times after that. He believes that this period extends to Christ's death upon the cross. He believes that it covers also the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in AD 70, and it goes up to a point where it mentions the end of war. And then the final period for him is a climatic time, mentioned in verse 27, when there'll be great desolations. And he sees this as the enemy of God, the Antichrist coming, seeking to impose idolatrous worship, one who exalts himself against God but finally is destroyed. Now, briefly, those are the positions of three godly, intelligent men who seek to understand the scripture. Now, there are things that are similar and there are things that are different, but we can say this, they all identify three stages, and the three stages are fairly similar. There's an early period to do with the time, very close to Daniel in which he was living. Then there's a much more extended time, and then eventually there's the final time, the end time. And all of them see that, but they all see the cross as central. The cross at the center of history. And they all see that this passage is warning God's people there's coming troublesome times, difficult times, eventually desolate times, but God's people are to hold on because God will be victor. So I want to consider the message now from this. I know what I've said hasn't answered questions for you. I know it's probably raised a lot of questions, so I'd say go away. Think about it. Is it lunar years? Revelation chapter 11 says this. Speaks about 42 months and it speaks about 1,260 days. Revelation is counting months in terms of 30 days. 42 times 30 brings you to 1,260 days. So it seems to be the Bible counts in terms of lunar. So could John Lennox be right? But then I'd say, compare scripture with scripture. We've already read in Daniel 7, about time, times, and half a time. So you have a time, then you have a double time, and then you have a half time, you've got 3.5. Here we've got the middle of a week, 3.5. What is 42 in Revelation? It's 3.5 years. What is 1,260 days? It's 3.5 years. What is this 3.5 about? In Revelation, it goes into the time of the Antichrist and the beast. So I say, go away and study these things and look and pray. That's what we all need to do, don't we? Are these numbers literal? If not, if they're figurative, what do they actually mean? Why are they so exact? But the big message that comes from this is that God is the God of history. God is a God who knows the end from the beginning. God is a God who has predicted for his own people the time that the Messiah will be cut off. Here it's referred to as 62 weeks after that second period. Now some people say this is a possibility. The wise men were from the east. And because the wise men may have had access to these scrolls, they would have been able to determine the exact time when the Messiah would be born. And so through the scrolls and then through the revelation of the star they came. Some say and conjecture that Simeon and Anna, being prayerful people and godly people, would have had access and would have understood. But we don't know that, do we? But what we are saying is God was giving clear instructions to Daniel for God's people that would be written down, that they would understand the times and the seasons. And God has given us in Matthew 24, Matthew 25, Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2, and other passages, great details about what will happen in end times. And God is saying that we ought not to be ignorant of these things. We ought to be people who are able to read the signs of the times. If God talks about wars and increasing wars and famine and earthquake, if he talks about a man of sin coming who will perform many miracles and he will deceive many, if God talks about the beast and all the people of the earth worshipping the beast, we should take note of these. If God says that the elect will not be deceived, if it were possible, they would be, but they won't, we should take note of all these things. If God says there'll be signs in the heavens above and the moon turning to the blood, we ought to take note of these things. We have to be careful, though, also, whilst taking note of these things, that we're not too exact in how we understand them, because we may well be wrong. Many people have said, well, this means this means that, this means the other. These 10 people who are, or 10 horns that are mentioned in Daniel mean it's the European Union of Nations, and then another 100, 200 years pass by and discover it's not. Or somebody else has said the beast is the Pope, and you have to hold things lightly. It could be this, you could say, it could be that, but God will make it plain when it happens. So to take note of what the scripture says about future things, and another God has planned all things, but at the heart of history is a cross where Christ was cut off for the sin of his people. And as Christians, we're called to glory in the cross and to think, well, if he was cut off and if he suffered, we're going to follow in his footsteps. And Daniel's been told, Daniel, yes, it's the end of 70 years of desolation, but that doesn't mean the end of suffering for God's people. There's coming troublesome times, we read in verse 25. We read in verse 27 about the wing of abominations, one who will make desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. We're to not assume in any shape or form that as Christians we will have an easy path. God has said, through much tribulation, you will enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. And Daniel is being taught that ahead of God's people, yes, there's glory. There's going to come a time where there's an end of war. Verse 26, to the end of war. But he's also told there will be desolations are determined until that point. God is going to be victor. There's going to be an end of all the war and all this trouble, and God will be victor, and he'll bring in a kingdom of everlasting righteousness. But before that, desolations are determined. I suppose that also affects your view of God, doesn't it? Do you believe that God is a God of love who only blesses? Or do you believe he is a God of love, but also God of justice and wrath, who judges and brings desolations on the earth also? The Messiah was cut off. He suffered. God's people will suffer too, but we're to be patient and remember that God is victor. Now, we could go further. We could look at Daniel 7 and Daniel 11 and look at the intricacies and compare scripture to scripture, but I want to leave this with you this evening. Daniel is shown things that almost definitely he doesn't understand. And God doesn't always tell us everything. He can leave things in dark forms. That we would seek him, and there may be a time when things will become plainer to us. He shows that he is far greater than us and mysterious, but he is Lord of all, and he's determined history. It's an amazing prophecy, isn't it? When you meet a person who doesn't believe in the Bible, doesn't believe it's God's word, you can say to them, well, look, Daniel was a man who lived 6 centuries before Christ. 5 centuries, 6 centuries. And yet here, God is telling him the exact time that the Messiah will come and be cut off for his people. This passage is given for the encouragement of God's people, that God is the Lord of history. He controls all things. It's given to us who want everything now and want things quickly. It's given to us to say to be patient. Trust me, hold on. It's given to remind us that suffering is part and parcel of the Christian life. It's given to remind us that there will be an end of war. And that if we go back to that verse that we looked at last week, verse 24, the wonderful thing is 70 sevens are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. God's purpose is to bless his people ultimately, to make an end of sin and bring in everlasting righteousness. And that's what we hope in. Amen.